This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Sligo are back in Croke Park this Sunday. If you'd like to be there, we've got two tickets to give away for their Tulton Cup semi-final against Down. A new soccer documentary about the football career of Shamey Coleman is coming soon to a screen near you. The cars are revving up in Donegal for the 2024 Wilton Recycling International Rally. And we salute Sligo's medal winners at the European Athletics Championships in Rome. And you're welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. If you'd like to get in touch, and you might want this number for our competition in just a second, 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp or by text. The email address, sport@oceanfm.ie. And on X, you'll find us right now at Ocean FM Sport. Also coming up, we will remember one of the founding members of St Mary's GA Club in Sligo, Donal Healy. We'll be talking to his daughter, Aisling, ahead of this Saturday's Healy Cup in Kent Park in Ballydugan. Shamrock Gaels GA Club in Sligo are running a supporters bus to Croke Park for this Sunday's Tulton Cup semi-final. If you'd like to be on it, please contact Mary Quinn on 086 375 7626. It's a 20 quid return ticket on that Shamrock Gaels bus for Croker this Sunday. Éireann O'Leary have confirmed they're laying on an extra train home on Sunday evening from Drumcondra to Sligo, but not an extra train from Sligo to Dublin, which begs the question, how do the fans get there in the first place? Maybe it's on the Shamrock Gaels bus. The regular Sligo to Dublin train service on Sunday morning sold out pretty quickly last weekend. Anyway, if you'd like to be at Croke Park next Sunday, however you get there, for Sligo against Down in the Tulton semi, we have a pair of tickets to give away right now, courtesy of Airgrid, the operator and developer of Ireland's electricity grid, powering up Ireland, powering up communities. Airgrid.ie for more. And to be in the draw, simply text or WhatsApp the word Sligo with your name and where you're from to 083 3500 530. That's Sligo with your name to 083 3500 530 by text or by WhatsApp, and we will announce the winner before nine. Well, this is the third year of Gaelic football's new Tier 2 competition. This is Sligo's second Tulton semi-final. 2 years ago, they lost narrowly to Cavan, but Sligo manager Tony McEntee believes his side have improved a lot since then.
We're about the team than we were then. We're much about the team. But not only that, we're much more comfortable with ourselves. We are playing about the football. We know much more about how we're playing. I think them a couple of years ago we done well to get to a semi-final. Yes, we could have won it, but like, we done well to get where we are. Right now we're in a different place. You know, we're comfortably winning a lot of these games. We are in a good position mentally as well. And I think we're going now looking forward to a semi-final. Whoever it's against, as a realist, hope of winning it rather than somebody who's just daring a gamble that we were a couple of years ago.
And can you see improvements in the team even from the Galway game, or is it very hard to judge when you come down to the Tulton Cup, or is it, can you see the improvements?
Well, I suppose the opposition there and the margin of our victories leaves us a wee bit unsure as to whether we improved or not. But from my angle, at least, I think we've improved. You know, we're making less mistakes. We're shooting from better angles in the field. We're converting many more chances we have. Now, of course, some of that will be down to the opposition, but some of it will certainly be due to improvements as well. Like we in our training sessions, you know, we can see where we make mistakes, and we're trying to improve in that. So I think both the teams will force more mistakes on us, and that's for sure. But I think we're in a better position to cope with that.
That's Sligo manager Tony McEntee with Gavin Cawley, and Sligo against Down will be live in full on Ocean FM this Sunday afternoon from 4 o'clock in association with the Innisfree Bar in Ballintoher, which is also screening all the Euro 2024 games throughout the month of June and into July. Right now, it's Spain 0, Italy 0 after about 12 minutes of that Group B encounter. England drawing 1-1 earlier with Denmark in the 5 o'clock game. The other Talton semi-final, incidentally, between Antrim and Laois, has a 2 o'clock start on Sunday. We'll have news of that, as well as commentary on the Sligo Down semi from 4 p.m. this Sunday. Both matches also being televised live this weekend. Sligo LGFA footballers are in Ruislip this weekend in match 3 of the TG Carr All-Ireland Junior Football Championship campaign. They're playing London on Saturday evening in Group A in McGovern Park. That game is at 7 o'clock. Sligo have lost their opening 2 matches of the TG Carr All-Ireland Junior Championship so far. A reminder, text the word Sligo with your name to 083 3500 530 to win a pair of tickets to Sligo against Down in Croke Park this Sunday. We'll announce the winner before the end of the programme. And a reminder too that Sligo GAA's Adult Football and Hurling Club Championship draws will be made live here on Ocean FM tomorrow evening from the County GAA Centre of Excellence in Scarden at 5:30. The draws will also be streamed live on Sligo GAA's YouTube channel. 5 draws will be made. The Sligo, the Davis's Restaurant and Yates Tavern Senior Hurling Championship draw, the Connacht Gold Junior A and Junior B Football Championship draws, the Connacht Gold Intermediate Championship draw, and of course the Homeland Sligo Senior Football Championship draw will also be made, and that begins tomorrow at 5:30 on the Sligo GAA YouTube channel and here on Ocean FM.
Ocean FM.
The Wilton Recycling Donegal International Rally on Ocean FM. Thanks to DMG Motors, Clare Road, Donegal Town, your main Cupra, Seat and Skoda dealer with a large selection of new and used cars. DMGmotors.ie.
Well, the ceremonial start for the 2024 Wilton Recycling Donegal International Rally began just over an hour ago on the Port Road in Letterkenny. 160 plus drivers ready to tackle Ireland's biggest and arguably best rally over the next 3 days. Last year's winner, Callum Devine, is back to defend his title along with his co-driver Niall O'Sullivan. They are the top seeds again this year, but they will face a few strong local challengers, including Gary Jennings and Rory Kennedy, who are seeded 10.
I've said many times, Christmas comes twice a year, and this is the second Christmas day in the year about to start now on Friday. So yeah, we're all looking forward to it, and it's been a long anticipated build up now. So yes, nearly here. These cars are definitely, you know, they're so evenly matched, all the makes, all the models. Like, I was sitting at the traffic lights in Kays today, and if you come off a stage in Donegal and you're 4 seconds down in the car in front, you know where. But when you're sitting at them traffic lights and they're counting down the top 5 seconds, it's actually nothing. You know, it's only break too early for 4 or 5 corners, and that's what it is. But, you know, to lose that kind of time, you think you're a world away, but it's not really. You know, it's just to carry so much speed and just breaking that wee bit earlier in these cars, where the world cars have the more power and you can slide through the corners. You know, these are 5 cars. You really have to keep them nailed. And, like, they do take it. It's just having the balls to keep the foot down. But, yeah. It's unbelievable, the corner speed to carry and breaking, you know, breaking's unreal on them.
Don't mince your words, Gary. That's Gary Jennings, a very experienced Donegal International Rally practitioner, and he'll have Rory Kennedy alongside him in the co-driver's seat. They are seated 10 this weekend in Donegal. The action proper begins in the morning, 6 stages around the Inishowen Peninsula. There are no stages this year around the Donegal Town Frosses area, unlike 12 months ago, which probably is a pity for fans in the south of the county, but huge crowds making their way up the N15 today and yesterday and this evening. We will keep you in touch with all that's happening from tomorrow, courtesy of DMG Motors, Clare, Donegal Town, your main Cupra, Skoda and Seat dealer. We'll have regular updates throughout the 3 days of rallying in Donegal. Well, next to a special homecoming at the weekend for Sligo's European Athletics Championship silver medalist, Sligo SE's Lauren Cadden was part of the women's 4x400 metres relay squad, which won silver so impressively in Rome last week. On Sunday, hundreds of fans and well-wishers greeted Lauren at a celebration event in her old university, ATU Sligo. She graduated from there recently. Her coach, Dermot McDermott, was there as well. And here's a sample of the afternoon.
Obviously, there was evidently talent there from the get-go. She was actually a decent cross-country runner. She actually won the school's cross-country, both county and Connacht's, but you could see the old pace and the turnover. And when she grew into her body, you knew she was going to take off.
Has this week caught you by surprise?
No, it actually hasn't. No, it's always been there. You roll back to when she was 15. She was third in the school's international. And you look at the two English girls that were ahead of her, like, you know, they're both kind of 51-second 400-metre runners. So the natural graph from 300-metre running at that age is to become a very, 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 very good 400-metre runner. And the more and more she gets to learn and know the event, she's going to absolutely take off.
Yeah. And what has she got? What's her key characteristic, do you think?
She just doesn't really think about it too much. Like, you know, she used to think about it a bit. I think when she processes it, she's very, very, very good at kind of managing and getting the best out of herself. She's an merciful competitor. Like even off the track, like, you know, when we'd be on camp, we'd be always kind of doing all these kind of messing games, and it'll always end in rows because it's just so competitive with each other. Like, you know, it could be I Spy, like, you know, or something, like, you know, and it's just, like, you know, we play letters games and all these, like, you know, and it is, it's all about winning, like, you know. So it's nice, it's good, it's good, it's a good element, it's a good trait.
I know talent is important in athletics, and good coaching clearly is important. You needed a bit of little luck and timing as well. Things have got to fall your way. And we know lots of athletes have stories where, you know, whether it's injuries or just unfortunate timing or team selections. But the stars were aligned for Lauren Cadden for these championships, were they?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, going into this year, I was kind of looking at two teams, mixed and women, going to world relays. You kind of knew that they were going to qualify for the Olympics, like, you know. So it was all really kind of focusing on, you're kind of saying probably seven women will be going, so being in that mix and being in that fold all the time, like, you know. So the year was kind of set out with that intent, like, you know, and doing a stint in the US, kind of just to kind of take out of that little bit of comfort to kind of deal with what's coming after and stuff like that, like, you know. So, and she's excelled in all areas. So
three of the four medals in Rome this week were in the 400 metres of some description, one lap sprint around the track. What are we putting in the water, whether it's men's running or women's running, when it comes to 400 metres?
I don't know. I suppose it's just a collective group. Like, you know, you had Phil Healy, who kind of set the trend on the female side, and it's just evolved. Like, you know, Rashida Lecky came along, moved up to 400 metre runner. Charlene Mosley stepped up her game. And then you have Sophie Becker, Lauren Cadden, and a whole entourage following, like, you know. So it's like, it's so, so competitive right now. It's off the charts, and they're all just driving each other on, like, you know, and it's absolutely so fruitful for all that follow. Like,
I see a lot of younger supporters in here today. They may be athletes themselves at Sligo AC or Corran AC or West Sligo AC or North Sligo AC, etc. This must make your job and other coaches' jobs a lot easier now, because you can bring them to the training on the cold, wet morning and say, listen, if you want to be like Lauren Cadden, off you go.
Absolutely, yeah. No, like, I think, like the coaching structure that we have in the group is, like, you know, the younger kids are learning off the olders, like, you know. So basically, you come down to the track on a Wednesday, there's five or six different sessions going on, but they're all kind of older athlete-led, and I'm just kind of prescribing the training and just casting an eye over the different groups and sticking the watch on, like. So it's quite a handy little kind of structure that we have set up, and they all learn off the best, like. So
I think you do a little bit more than that, Dermot McDermott. You're underselling yourself there a little bit. He was in Paris at the Paralympic qualifiers on Friday, watching Lauren's race on a laptop, or last Wednesday, doing about nine different things to us. And there are many other coaches in this room and in Sligo who do the same as well, and we're now seeing the fruits of your labour. Dermot McDermott, thank you very much. Our next guest, who's waiting patiently here in the entranceway, wearing a tricolour around her shoulders, and why wouldn't she? I'd say she's got less sleep this weekend since she came home than in Italy last week. Please welcome your European Athletics silver medalist, Lauren Cadden.
Lauren, congrats.
Welcome, Lauren. And she has the silver medal draped around her neck. Hold it up there, we can get a proper look at it. It's a standing ovation in the Arriva Auditorium for Lauren Cadden. And well deserved. It's a fine piece of metal, I have to say. It's as big a medal as I've seen. It puts the Olympic medal to shame, never alone. It's pretty impressive stuff. And you thought, Lauren Catton, you were going to have a nice, quiet weekend where you could put the feet up, kick back, sleep on the sofa and catch up on some rest.
Yeah, I did, and it's been far from that. I think I'm running off adrenaline rather than sleep at the minute, but I wouldn't change it. As everyone has reminded me, like, these moments are so rare, and I may never get this again, so I'm trying to soak it all in, but as we all know, there is a bigger picture coming up, so I have to keep the training going.
Has it sunk in what you've achieved last Wednesday?
No, definitely not. Like, I think I look at the medal sometimes and I'm like, oh God, it's actually mine. Like, this is my first time seeing Dermot today, and I think that kind of re-emphasised everything that we've done. Obviously, he's been there with me through thick and thin. He's stuck by me through a lot of lows, maybe not too many highs, so thanks. But yeah, no, it hasn't sunk in. Like, I don't know if it will for a while. It's definitely upped my confidence, I think, and it's made me back myself that a little bit more. I think that was something that I really wanted to try to do this season, was to believe in myself. Dermot mentioned the stint in the States. That didn't go to plan. And I came away from that being like, right, will you either kick on from that and forget about it and show yourself in outdoors, or you let it get to you? And I think I've done the first option, and I've came away and I've just been like, this is everything you've worked for, and I'd like to think I deserve it. So just keep working.
You spoke about the lows. Does this sort of achievement make it all worthwhile? Like, when you know, when the dust eventually settles, will you be able to kind of take stock and say, yeah, all that hassle was worth it?
Yeah, it does now. I actually had a session this morning, and I was with Brian. And I don't know where he is, and the session was rough, but I was like, it makes it worth it.
For people listening at home, who is Brian?
Brian Cullinan. I think he's here. I don't know where he is. There he is. Yeah. He was doing the session with me, and we were both lying on the track afterwards, dying. He was like, that medal is worth it though, Lauren. And it is. Like, there was lows. This time last year, I was injured. And mentally, I think it's harder than physically. Like, last year, I think I was in quite good shape, and then I got injured. And it's like, you put in so much work, and then it's just kind of taken away from you. So this time last year, I was like, right, just keep doing the rehab, like, believe in yourself and you'll be back. So the lows are low, but the highs make it worth it.
You see, to the outsider, and again, the untrained eye, some of us might think you've had a cracking season. You won another Irish Interversities title. You broke a record that had stood for 25 years. You set a new PB in Salamanca. This girl, outwardly, is flying.
Yeah, definitely. Look, outdoors has went well. Am I satisfied? A little bit, like, but I know that there's more there. Like, I rang Dermot after my split in Rome, and I was like, I'm happy with it, but I want more. Like, I feel like as an athlete, you always will want more. This outdoor season has started really well. Indoors didn't. So, as I said, I knew I had to come into outdoors and be ruthless. I think last year when I was injured, I might have lost that ruthless side a little bit. So I knew I had to get it back to go out. And, like, as Dermot said, I am very competitive. So I like to go out and give them my all, and I am getting that side back. So,
can I talk to you about Rome and the championships themselves? When did you hear you were definitely running in the semi-final?
The night before. I got a phone call at about 11:30. I was about to get into bed. The relay coach had said, give me a ring if you're going to bed, or give me a text if you're going to bed. And I was like, right, I'll just give it a few minutes. And he rang me and he's like, you're in. So I text my family, I text Dermot, I think I text some of my friends, because I don't really like to make a big fuss about it. I like to try to stay grounded. I know I have a job to do. And then, yeah, that was it.
Did you sleep?
A little bit. Yeah, I did. Like, obviously, I knew going to sleep. Like, you're waking up in the morning and you're running your first ever Europeans. I missed my European juniors because I was injured. So, like, it was a very big deal for me. But I stood on that track and I felt like I was at home. I felt like I belonged there. And
did you really, you know, to be leg three, first time in a Europeans, did you feel comfortable out there?
I actually did, yeah. I did surprise myself at how comfortable I did feel. Like, I was very nervous, I won't lie. I think that's normal, though. You want to give it your best shot. Bahamas, I think, it helped a lot, because that was World Relays, and I ran there. And I was told you looked like you belonged there. So then I was like, right, well, if people are telling me that, then I must have done something right. So I stood out in that track in Rome with the girls, and I was like, you have a job to do here, so go out and do it.
And then we get to the final, and obviously Rashida Adeleke, who is a world star, she's available now for the relay, so no one's going to begrudge if she gets a place on the team. It becomes a question of who she's going to replace. And talk me through the day of a final, because I gather the decision might not be made until as late as warming up beforehand. If somebody feels slightly off, whether it's a tummy bug or a tight hamstring, they could make a call and say, right, she's out, you're in. Is it as last minute as that?
Yeah, it is. So I do the whole warm-up, or I did the whole warm-up with the girls. I spiked up, I did baton changes, did all my runs as if I was running, because, as you said, if one of the girls went into the first call room, which is at the top of the warm-up track, and felt off, they pull the plug and I'm in. So you prepare as if you're running. And I think that is the only attitude you can have. You have to wake up in the morning. Even going over to the championships, regardless when I knew if I was running or not in that semi-final, I went out there with the intention of I am running and be ready.
So you were the fifth, you weren't starting. When the final started, we're all throwing teacups at the telly at home watching this race. People in the stand are jumping up and down. Where were you watching the final?
We were in the stadium when the girls come to 200 in. We were up there watching them.
Oh, in the stand?
In the stand, yeah.
You could get up and cheer.
Yeah. And I actually think watching it was more stressful than running because it's so out of your control. You don't know what's going to happen. And we were all on the edge of our seats. But I think once they stood foot on the track, we all had a very good feeling. But it's also a relay and it's sport and anything can happen. So.
But the right thing did happen, a medal.
Yes, the right thing definitely did happen. And then we saw the girls when they came out of the mix zone. And
it strikes me you get on well. I'm sure there's competitiveness between you. You race against each other domestically. But, I mean, you obviously clicked together as a group.
Yeah, as a team, we all do get on very well. And we all pull the best out of each other, whether it's racing against each other or racing together. And I think it's now got to the point where, you know, other countries are seeing Ireland on the team sheet and they're like, oh, God, it's Ireland. Whereas, I suppose, a few years ago, it might have been that we might have been in some races and people would have thought, you know, you're just filling the lane. But now we're going out there and we are challenging and we obviously are coming away with medals. So it's surreal. And I'm honestly so grateful to just be a part of this fold and to be a part of this team and doing what we're doing.
Can you answer why 400 metres is clicking so well now for Irish athletes, male or female? Have you an answer to that?
I don't know. I think it's everything that Dermot said as well. Like, obviously, there's something clicking right. It's so competitive at the minute between the men and the women. Obviously, everyone knows what's at stake this summer, so everyone is trying to be in the best possible shape. I suppose it's a mix of speed and endurance. You have to be good at both. That last 50 is rough, so.
I mean, you're a more than distant, decent 200 metres sprinter, for example, but 400 metres is home for you now, is it?
Yeah, I think so. As Dermot said, I won that 300 in schools. And I actually used to love racing 300s, but there never really was that many races. I definitely am a strong runner, so I think the 4 definitely suits me. Dermot did try to make me move earlier than I did, and I gave him a little bit of hassle, I think. I would have done 1 or 2 and maybe jogged them. So I think once I made the move then, I actually did my first one last year indoors and it went shocking. I was like, I'm not doing that again. And then 2 weeks later, I did another one and I ran 3 seconds faster. So I think it was more the mentality I had going into it 2 weeks later was you got to go out and you got to go hard.
I'm going to take a step back now before I ask this next question. What about the Olympics?
Yeah, I think I'm getting that question a lot. Look, the team is going to be selected after National Seniors. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep doing me. There's a lot at stake. It's obviously the pinnacle of sport. Myself and Dermot sat down to start the season and we tried to plan things. And look, I'm going to do me. I know I'm in very good shape. I know I can go faster than what I have. So, yeah.
I'm not asking you for any prediction and it wouldn't be fair to. You know, I mean, this might be a bit soon. But, I mean, you'd be trying to qualify for the mixed relay squad. Is that where what you're aiming towards?
It'd be more the women's. The women's relay squad, yeah. Like, look, by right, it'll probably be 6 or 7 women that they're sending. But, like, the 400 is so competitive at the minute. Like, anyone can come out of anywhere and run a fast time, and that's all it kind of takes. Like, no one's spot is essentially safe. So, yeah.
Well, whatever happens, we wish you luck, whether it's Paris or a later major national or international championships, Lauren. Let's finish by taking it back to where it all started. You're a graduate now of ATU Sligo, isn't that right? You studied here. Sligo AC was your nurturing ground for so many years, running on the track here at ATU Sligo, week in, week out. And I don't know, was there a running space for you in Dromard as a kid? Was it around Shamie Donegan Memorial Park? Where did you go for a run in West Sligo?
I actually sometimes did hills out at home on the road, up maybe up the mountain, not a few hills, and then the track obviously came. I'm not going to guess what year that came because I don't know. We did a few sessions there. During COVID, we would have went between the track at home and Ballina, sometimes travelling a little bit over the distance that was recommended, but, and then we also used Fort Hill up the hill, which definitely made a big difference to training. I think being on the track really helped. We would use Union a bit as well. So yeah, we were going all around. It was kind of nice to mix it up as well, though, get off the track as well and work on certain things. So yeah,
it's been quite a journey.
It's been such a journey. I said to Dermot there a few days ago, like this time last year, the place I was in with running, like, because I knew I was in good shape, I just was really frustrated with injury. It was the second time that injury came back, so it was just really hard mentally. And now I look at where I am now, standing with a European medal around my neck, and I'm like, I think if one message I want to give to people, if you have a dream or you have a goal, like, go for it. People are going to doubt you along the way. I've had people doubt me. I've had comments made. But if you want it bad enough and you work for it, you can do it. Look, I'm not satisfied yet. I still want to do a lot more in this career. I'm so grateful that I've had the team around me, especially Dermot. He definitely doesn't give himself enough credit for everything he does. He was saying there, he just whacks a watch on people. He does a lot more than that. He gives kids opportunities that I've never seen anyone else give to people. He's given me opportunities that no one else has ever even given me. He's believed in me in times that I don't think I've believed in myself. And I know for a fact, he would probably say it's not true, but I would not be standing here with this medal around my neck if he was not in my life.
We're going to let you sit down now because you've been standing all weekend. One last question. Did the Sligo medal winners get a chance to get together in Rome this week? Because you weren't the only medal winner from this neck of the woods.
We did. Chris was down to watch the women's 4x4 final. I actually hadn't saw his gold medal until I got my medal. So we reunited. We got pictures and stuff. He had his medal with him so we could get photos together.
You were able to clink them together,
yes,
weren't you?
We were comparing them, which one we thought was nicer. I still think the silver is, but I'll let Chris have the gold at the moment.
You can keep arguing that for a while yet. Lauren Cadden, European silver medalist, thank you very much.
Happy Father's Day.
I used to work here in ATU Sligo for a couple of years, and this next guest said to me about a decade ago, have a look at this guy out on the track. He's going places. He could do something. He was training a young guy from Grange in North Sligo called Christopher O'Donnell. And a decade later, we all know what he's done in the last couple of World Championships and now European Championships with the 4x4 mixed relay squad. He leads the ATU Sligo Athletics Club at the moment. He came very close to qualifying for the Olympics himself in 1984 for the 800 metres. Could have happened, but for injury and one or two other things. So let's have a quick word with Chris O'Donnell's home coach and lecturer in sport with business at ATU Sligo, Roddy Gaynor. Roddy is here. You can tell us why Chris isn't home this weekend, first of all.
Well, I know what Dermot's thinking right now. Let's get all these festivities over so Lauren can get back proper training. I can tell you that Chris has already got the head down and he's training this weekend and he's racing again on Wednesday and he's racing again next week. He's racing Wednesday in Belgium and next weekend in Geneva. So,
because Paris is on the horizon there. He's trying to get the A qualifying standard for the 400.
Correct, yeah. He's in the point. He's in the ranking system to qualify in the individual 400, but it's really, really difficult. So in all likelihood, he's going to have to run the actual qualifying standard, which means he's going to have to break 45 seconds for the 400 metres. So it's a big, big challenge. But he's up for it. He showed terrific form this week in Rome, particularly in his individual race, coming so quickly after the mixed 4x4 race. So he's got a great chance, you know.
Were you surprised by the gold medal? You probably weren't, knowing him as you do.
A bit what Dermot said earlier on, no, I was not surprised. We have been targeting the relays now for a few years. We've got such ability amongst our athletes. On the men's side, you know, a lot of people in the audience might remember David Gillick. He was the first guy to break through in the 400s, winning major championship gold medals. And you know, that started off, and then we've got other people come along. So Chris obviously really wanted this for the last 10 years. He's been so dedicated in terms of preparation. The new relay, that mixed relay, has just been a game changer for athletics. It's a very, very exciting race. And so when you are able to throw in who will be, in my opinion, a future world champion, Rashida, and Charlene Mosley as lifter, and then we've got the likes of Tom Barr with the massive experience he has. Yes, we were always in the mix. And I think people have to appreciate coming up against the teams that they competed against in Rome this week were off the charts in terms of their standard, the Dutch in particular, and we beat them all. You know,
what finally do you think this sends out message-wise about Sligo athletics, that we have two medalists at the elite level of international athletics?
I think it's fantastic, and I just want to really recognise the work of my good friend Dermot, who has been unbelievable, like a tour de force in terms of pulling so many young people into the sport here. And as it may not surprise you, very few come to the top. That's the nature of elite sport. We have many who'll try, but the ones who can have that extra bit of dedication, people have to appreciate that Lauren is sitting here in front of you after working daily for about the last 10 years. And that's what it takes, you know, and that dedication, that drive. So it's brilliant what's happening now, us getting the really significant international success. I believe it'll be a fantastic recruiter for our sport, and we need this. The other thing is, I mean, obviously the sport struggles with the funding side of stuff, and like you got someone like Chris O'Donnell, who's a full-time athlete in the UK. He gets a grant from Sport Ireland, but you know he's at the level he's at. He's got no sponsors. You know, and this is difficult. So for them to stay involved in their sport, we're hoping now with this fantastic success that's happened this week that extra bit of financial support would come in behind and start rivaling some of the resources we see that goes into the GAA and some of the other team sports.
Which will be music to the ears of some of our best athletes in the country. Roddy Gaynor, insightful as always. Thank you very much. And congrats to Greg. Please put your hands together one last time for Lauren Cadden, your silver medalist.
And that's a flavour of last Sunday's celebration homecoming for Sligo AC's Lauren Cadden at ATU Sligo, and Roddy Gaynor talking about Chris O'Donnell's success and aspirations as well at the university last Sunday afternoon. Next to a new soccer film coming your way.
Yeah, this club will never leave me. Means too much to me. When times got tough, he was the first guy to just step forward.
One of the best people I've ever met as a man.
A real captain. He could run. No, we used to call him like Forrest Gump because he was low. He just kept running, and that's who he was at the time.
He's shown everybody in the world how you should wear that badge.
I sort of put me cards on the table and said, no, we need to just buy him. You know, don't wait around, let's get him in.
Che has given stability to the club when it's been quite unstable. He's been that one person that through all the ups and downs on the pitch and off the pitch, he's been there still leading the troops.
To us as a family, everything means everything to us.
As a human being, like I say, he's for me the perfect guy.
Moyes Coleman is my bear. Didn't get many compliments from him, but that sounds like a compliment.
I think that day at his age, you're thinking, this fella's, you know, he's not going to be here for long.
I think it's time there's a statue goes up in town for our Irish captain, and he's there shaking his head going, no, all that. But that's how important it is.
Something I think of Everton, what he gave to them very, very much, he's loyal.
I'll always, you know, be very fortunate and very grateful that I played a part in the history of this football club.
Yeah, that's a trailer for a new documentary on the football career of Seamus Coleman, Everton icon and Republic of Ireland captain, which Everton Football Club are bringing out soon on their YouTube channel. You'll hear lots more about this. But the programme entitled Seamus will be available on the Everton FC YouTube channel shortly, as well as his 15 seasons at Goodison Park to date. It's understood the programme will focus on his time at Sligo Rovers and his £60,000 sterling move at the time to Everton in 2009. There are contributions from Willie McStay, who brought the Killybegs man to Celtic, remember, for a trial prior to his move to Everton, and interviews with family, friends, coaches and teachers in Coleman's hometown of Killybegs, as well as a clip from the President of Ireland, Michael D. Higgins. You may have heard him in there. They are also included. So that's Seamus, a new documentary on the football career of Seamus Coleman, coming your way soon. Now, St. Mary's GA LGFA club in Sligo is getting ready to host the second annual Donal Healy Cup this Saturday. This is a new girls under 14 Gaelic football tournament named in memory of one of St. Mary's founding club members in the 1970s. Eight teams from counties across Connacht are going to take part, including Tuam, Cortoon from Galway, Carnacan and Kilmormoy from Mayo, as well as another St. Mary's club, St. Mary's Kiltahard from Leitrim. Aisling Walsh is the St. Mary's Board and the No Club Secretary. She is also Donal Healy's daughter.
It's a huge honour to have something like this named after Dad. Especially it's a huge honour to have it for the girls, because we already have a club or a cup for the boys. So it's lovely to be the founding family of the Healy Cup and to sponsor it every year.
For people who weren't familiar with Donal Healy, he was one of the founding members of St. Mary's GA Club here in the 70s and 80s. Growing up, what are your memories of his involvement with St. Mary's?
We would have spent a lot of time in St. Mary's as kids, at meetings, fundraising. He dragged us into anything he could to get us to try and help out with the fundraising. Memories of meetings upon meetings at home or in the kitchen table that would go on till the early hours of the morning where it would have been huge when we were younger.
And the Healy family involvement in St. Mary's continues to today. You are secretary of St. Mary's Board na nOg, so is it in your DNA? Was there no escape?
No, there was no escape. And I suppose it was something, I suppose St. Mary's was a huge part of our childhood, and it would remain, I suppose, very, very important to me as a club to see it develop and to see it kept going. So yeah, I am. I'm a secretary of Board na nOg. I was assistant secretary last year. And I'm also coaching under sixes for my sins, which I love.
So you have multiple roles here at Kent Park. Will you be involved on the day of the Healy Cup?
I am indeed. I'll be involved upstairs with the registration, helping out with the operation plan that we've been up to the early hours of the morning. History's kind of repeating itself here. Up to the early hours of the morning, trying to plan all this week. So it's a busy week for us here at St. Mary's.
So clearly you get a lot of enjoyment out of being involved with the club here.
I do, I do. I think it's in my blood. I really do. I really do enjoy it. I enjoy seeing the development of the children, especially my under sixes, seeing them develop and come on. I also love to be part of, you know, helping out with the running of the club and helping out with all the underage football.
I'm guessing when your dad was setting up or helping to set up St. Mary's, there wasn't too much women's football back in the 70s and 80s. The picture is so different now, and that must be great to see so much girls football here at St. Mary's and other clubs, and the fact that you have a cup competition to celebrate that.
It's a huge honour to have a girls competition here. When I was in primary school, we did try to set up back in, I think, like 92, we tried to set up a girls, and unfortunately at the time it didn't work out. I think it came into St. Mary's in about, I think, 96, and it's been growing from strength to strength to strength. So it's massive to see a under 14 girls competition, and girls, we've 200 girls arriving here on Saturday from all around Connacht, and it's huge to give the girls the opportunity to compete at such a level.
Aisling Walsh, St. Mary's LGFA Board na nOg Club Secretary, speaking to Ocean FM Sport ahead of Saturday's Healy Cup in Kent Park and Mitchell Curley Park, named after her dad, Donal. This weekend, it takes place on Saturday from 11 a.m. The semi-finals of the competition are scheduled for 2:30 in the afternoon. Let's give you our competition winner. We have two pairs of tickets to give away for Sunday's Tailteann Cup semi-final at Croke Park between Sligo and Down. Compliments of Airgrid, the operator and developer of Ireland's electricity grid, powering up Ireland, powering up communities. And well done to Peter Walsh from Gertchen, who will be receiving two tickets by email shortly after this programme finishes tonight. I'm not sure, Peter, if the Shamrock Gales crew will allow you on their bus to Croke Park this Sunday, the supporters' bus, but you've got yourself a pair of tickets. If you are looking for transport to Dublin, Shamrock Gales running a supporters' bus to Croker for Sunday's semi-final. To book a seat or register your interest, contact Mary on 086 375 7626. Before we go, a reminder of the live sport coming up this weekend. Updates to come on the Wilton Recycling Donegal International Rally throughout Friday, Saturday and Sunday. The first of six special stages starts tomorrow morning along the Inishowen Peninsula. We'll keep you in touch with that during our lunchtime sport tomorrow. Then tomorrow evening from 5:30, we're live from the Sligo GAA Centre of Excellence in Scarden to bring you the Sligo GAA Adult Club Football and Hurling Championship draws for 2024. The draws also being streamed live by the Sligo GAA YouTube channel from 5:30, as well as being live here on Ocean FM. Five draws being made in hurling, the Davis's Restaurant and Yates Tavern Senior Hurling Championship. In football, the Conacole Junior A and Junior B Championships, the Conacole Intermediate Football Championship, and of course the Homeland Sligo Senior Football Championship draw for 2024 will also be made. And then on Sunday afternoon from 4, we're live from Croke Park with commentary on the Tailteann Cup semi-final. Compliments of the Inish Free Bar in Ballintore. Sligo against Down throws in at 4. We'll keep you in touch with all the other sport this weekend, including Sligo women who go to Ruislip on Saturday evening to play London in the TG Cahir All-Ireland Junior Football Championship. And on Sunday, John McNulty's Donegal will try to rubber stamp their place in the knockout stages of the TG Cahir Women's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. They're away to Waterford on Sunday lunchtime, having drawn their opening game 2 weekends ago against Kerry, and we'll be across that for you as well on Sunday afternoon. A reminder finally that this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts. Simply search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back with you next week, same time, same place.